Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray, Lord, that in my speaking and in our listening, we may draw near to you and near to one another. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the birth of John the Baptist, and I'm framing my talk around two quite simple questions. Who was he and what did he do? And by talking about John the Baptist, I will also say something about my arrival here among you as your new vicar and how I hope to frame this new beginning for me and for all of us. So who was John the Baptist? What do we know about him? We know that he was a relative of Jesus. He was actually his cousin. Their mothers, Mary and Elizabeth, were cousins. He was a long-awaited prophet. Does anyone know or want to guess how many years had passed between Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the birth of John the Baptist? Any guesses? Yes. 300. You're close. It was 400 years. So, I know you've had to wait a while for a vicar to arrive, but you know that puts it into perspective. So there were 400 years between the last prophet of the Old Testament and the birth of John the Baptist. A long time to wait. What is a prophet? I'm wondering if any of the children know the Harry Potter books. Put your hand up, and adults, to be fair. So you'll probably know about the idea of a prophet or a prophecy from the Harry Potter books, wouldn't you? Because there's the Department of Mysteries at the Ministry of Magic, and it contains these glass balls with prophecies, which are predictions about the future. Well, this idea of prophets as soothsayers or people who predict the future was quite common in the ancient world. But there was something different about Hebrew prophets. Hebrew prophets did sometimes predict the future, but they did something else that was a bit more rational and real-worldly. They critiqued the prevailing social and religious structures. They spoke truth to power, often at great cost, and they could see beyond the present and not so much predict the future, but offer a vision for how the future could be different, better, more hopeful, more filled with God's love and purposes. In the case of John the Baptist, his vision was linked to repentance, a word which in Greek means change of mind or metanoia. He called on people to change their minds about the scope of God's love, God's mercy, and God's mission. He helped people to understand that God wants to change us, to change our minds, to transform us, and enable us to have the mind of Christ in all we say and all we do. So that's who John the Baptist was, a prophet. And now to our second question, what did he do? Well, he did some slightly crazy things, which you heard about in the reading. He ate locusts, and he wore clothes made of camel hair. But the core of what he did is summarized in these words that he quotes from Isaiah, a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist's ministry was one of preparation, preparing the way, making paths straight, provoking people to think and to change their minds, preparing the way for the most extraordinary revelation of God in human history, the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. So in answer to our two questions, John the Baptist was a prophet, and he was one who spent time preparing the way for change. And these two ideas, vision and preparation, are key to how I envisage the beginning of my time among you as your vicar. On the topic of vision, I have been reading a book called Hit the Ground Kneeling by the Bishop of Chelmsford, Stephen Cottrell. Good title. And the core point, which you can see from the title, is that leaders must be ones who pray, who contemplate, who take time out to see the bigger picture and the bigger vision and the bigger story of which we are all part. There is a temptation to hit the ground running when you begin a new role, to jump in and make your mark. This is especially true in my case, when you have waited a long time for my arrival and when I too have waited a long time to reach this point in my own journey. But the wiser perspective, I think, is not to hit the ground running, but to hit the ground kneeling, to pray, to listen, to watch, and to wait. And that's how I hope to begin my ministry among you. By hitting the ground kneeling, I hope to discern not just my own particular vision for how we lead this church forwards, but how that fits with a much wider vision, a vision which we collectively discern with the help and grace of God. And just as John the Baptist prepared the way for change, so we need to spend time as a parish preparing for the future changes that may lie ahead for us as we seek to respond to God's call and the particular needs of our congregation and our parish and our world. I would love to see this church congregation grow in numbers, in our spiritual commitment, and in our service to the wider community. But we need to spend time thinking about how this will happen. We need to remember that growth takes time. Gardening metaphors are helpful here. When you move to a new house with a new garden, which you all know I've just done, it's not a very good idea to dig things up and start planting until you've watched and waited and seen what there is already, because in all likelihood, another gardener has been there before you. It's the same, I think, when a new vicar arrives. I want to watch and wait and see what has already been planted here and what is already growing. And then together, we can look at what's blossoming and bearing fruit, what might need to be cut back, what might need to be planted, and do so always within a perspective of prayer and contemplation and trust in God's wider purposes and plans for us. I'll finish by reading the words of a verse from one of the songs I chose for my induction service on Tuesday. It talks about prophets, vision, and the core purpose of our Christian faith, to put Christ's all-embracing love at the heart of all we do. Let us build a house where prophets speak, where words are strong and true, where all God's children dare to seek to dream God's reign anew. Here the cross shall stand as witness and as symbol of God's grace. Here as one we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us pray. Loving God, help us follow the example of John the Baptist in our vision and our preparation for all you have planned for us as a parish in the years ahead. May we always seek the mind of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.